Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 105, the first 8 verses. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced, O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations. And our New Testament reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. Paul's longing to visit Rome. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And this is the word of God. Amen.
Thank you, I think, for inviting me here this morning. I may have done this in my own church, but I have never done it in another church, so I am quite nervous. Thank you. As Robin said, I was a member here, I think about 32 years ago. I worked it out for 10 years, and my boys, Paul and Colin, were baptised here at the time of Derek Ritchie, so it's lovely being back with you again. So last year, I had the privilege of travelling to Ghana as part of the World Development and Relief MEET team. Now, MEET, if you don't know, stands for Methodist, Experience, Engage and Tell. So we were a group of Methodists going to Ghana to experience the country, the food and the people, to engage with the local church and with the projects that World Development and Relief are involved with. Then to come home and tell, share our experiences and stories with others. And so today, that is what I am doing. So we were a group of 5 ladies. You'll see us up there. Pat Jemison, who had worked out at Nkasi Methodist Hospital with World Mission Partners some years previous, was heading back to check on a couple of projects that she had been involved with. So So it was decided that Pat would lead a group out to Ghana to see the projects that the World Development and Relief were involved with. So we were a small group of five ladies, and I was lucky that Jane Grant, who is a friend and also a member of Carnley, was going along with Linda Taylor and Cathy Kilcoyne, who is friends from the south of Ireland. While in Ghana, we were asked to check on two projects that World Development and Relief in Ireland are involved with, and that is Wenchy Methodist Hospital and the Woodlot Farming Project. So visiting Wenchy was first on the agenda. So after a long minibus ride on roads that were horrendous at times, it was like being in the Dodgems and Barry's at the Port Rush, we were greeted when we got there by Bernard Botwee. He's the administrator of the hospital, and Shadrach, the hospital manager, who would escort us around the hospital and answer any questions that we would have. So Bernard was absolutely delighted. You see, we're wearing our marathon vests. When he realised that three of us had taken part, so there's Jane, Pat and myself, that in some way we had taken part in the marathon, and he just couldn't believe that we would do that for them. And as you know, the funds that were raised is over 20,000, and that money, I can assure you, will be put to good use. The Methodist Church in Ireland has had over a 50-year link with Wenchy, and one of these was through MWI, where the ladies raised funds to build what is now known as the Irish Hostel, or Tyrone House. And this was built to house ladies who needed somewhere to recover after surgery to correct urinary problems that had occurred during a long and difficult childbirth. They would be wouldn't be able to be with family, so before returning home, they were able to recoup here. In the next photograph, we'll see one of the nurses. This is Nurse Faith, or she likes to be known as Slim Lynn. She says, you can see why, can't you? She was dancing. She is the nurse in charge of the female ward, and she was just the happiest person I think I came across. She was just constantly smiling and always laughing. Now, she works from 7:30 in the morning, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. Now, this is her choice. She just has such a commitment and a passion for her patients. And all she wishes for in her ward is that she has some more privacy curtains to maintain the dignity of the ladies there. It's a crowded ward. They have 23 beds in that ward. So she'd also like to develop the wash facilities, because as you can imagine, with 23 ladies and their families, because families stay with them, because they come from quite a distance, so they need somebody there to cook and just to look after them. So there are no facilities for families, so they will sleep in the corridors or they sleep out in the hospital grounds. In the next photograph, we'll see James. James is a dentist, and this is James with his assistant. James explained to us that at times, due to no theatre slots, he would have to do reconstructive jaw surgery. And that's just in a dentist chair, and not chairs like we have in our dentist now. They're ones that I can remember back when I was a child, and that wasn't yesterday. He does a fantastic job, and these jaw injuries are happening because the young men are scooting in and out of the traffic, which is horrendous, and they're not wearing the cycle helmets. So it's mainly the young men are needing these surgeries. The next photograph is the labour room. We'll not say too much. We were a bit shocked when we seen that. But healthy babies are being born. The women are being looked after very, very well. And we'll see this is a photograph of twins, very healthy twin girls that were born. So it was just lovely to see all the wee babies. They do have the NIC unit for premature babies and babies that have problems. At the moment, they have six. They have two more, but they don't have room at the moment for those. And again, these parents stay, so they're just as we were passing, we obviously couldn't go into the unit, but there's all the mums just sitting outside because there's nowhere for them to stay. So they just have to stay close by. They just live in the hospital grounds. The doctors and nurses are a team of dedicated professionals. They're committed to the care of their patients. The hospital is expanding all the time. Money is not spent. They spend the money as they get it. They don't go on building until the money is there to secure it. And that's with many other organisations, but of course with our help here too, with World Development and Relief. Our next project, which is one we really didn't know very much about, we'd known a lot about Wenche because we'd heard a lot about it, but is the Woodlot Farming Project. Now, World Development and Relief, along with the Methodist Relief and Development Service in Ghana, are working amongst the people in the south-central part of Ghana, and that is scattered villages south of the main coastal road, and they're generally poor. The people in this area have traditionally been forest dwellers, living from the bounty of the forest's natural resources. Deforestation and the increased population has obviously disturbed the balance of this, and furthermore, a virus had wiped out the population of coconut trees, which had been a major source of nutrition and income. One of their major needs is charcoal, which they use for cooking. So the deforestation makes charcoal production very difficult, hence the focus on woodlot, growing timber for profit. Families involved in the project will use some of the charcoal for themselves in their cooking, but they will also sell the remaining. Projects were begun in a number of communities, both Christian and Muslim. They'll work alongside each other. Our partners, the Methodist Church and Relief in Ghana, they are training farmers in the cultivation of the cult. I knew I was going to get that wrong. In two tree species that they're cultivating to encourage the growth for the charcoal. And this is acacia and lucinia. And these are quite fast growing over sort of a 2-year period. But acacia will grow, it disturbs the soil and it drains the nutrients from the soil. So in order to, I mean, there's no point in planting the tree and then in 2 years the soil's not fit for purpose. So they plant alongside that the lucinia, which has a restorative factor back into the soil, but it also produces high protein fodder for livestock. And this makes animal husbandry possible. So they've had the goat exchange where we were to see that, but it had already happened, I think, some days before. But then the livestock, again, that brings extra income as it provides, and it also provides manure for the soil. The Woodlot project was designed to improve the lifestyle and the health, particularly of the farmers. Traditionally, they dug large pits to burn the wood in, and this was a 2-week period of burning, and it produced a lot of smoke. And that smoke obviously is damaging our environment, but also the farmers, they're breathing it in. So the project provides community kilns that are sealed, and then they burn the wood, and that burns in 4 days, producing the equivalent amount of charcoal, and obviously produces less pollution and of course is less harmful to the farmers. So if they're producing it at a quicker rate, they're obviously making more money, and that's happening in their daily life. On the day of our visit, a wood burning kiln was due to be opened to reveal the charcoal to it was a particularly new farming family into the project. So we were taken along in single file along a path that had been freshly prepared by the local farmers. And this was, they just used their machetes to make sure that there was a decent space for us to walk along. We were met there by the World Development and Relief Service in Ghana by the Reverend Joseph Dunko, who manages the project. Reverend Joseph had previously been supported by us in training in agriculture. So during some heavy tropical rain, we sheltered under these rather large banana leaves. that this farmer had very kindly cut down for us with his rather large machete. They're a bit scary, these. They were everywhere. They became really, really concerned, as Joseph was talking to us, that we were getting wet, and they wanted us to move, you know, back, maybe go back to the bus. And we said, look, seriously, where we come from, rain is definitely not a problem. So we continued. Joseph talked us through the process of the kiln, it being filled, then sealed with mud. It's like large rings, and as they fill it up, they add more rings, and it's sealed, and then the lid goes on, and then it is set fire, and there the wood will burn slowly. So the kiln, the lid was removed. We were just very lucky that day, it was the fourth day, the lid came off, and what a joy to see. I mean, we were so excited that we were going to see it, but the joy and the happiness of these farmers when they could see all the charcoal. We did sneaky wee bits home with us, so we did. The kiln will produce up to about 16 bags of charcoal, and that can sell for about £24. So taking that the minimum wage in Ghana is £1.25, it is going a long way to helping them to earn money. So next then we were taken to a village where we were welcomed and introduced to the villagers. And we had, Joseph had told us that some of these villagers had walked 3 miles just to see us that day. Very humbling. And there's this gentleman in his Sunday best. They were there out in their Sunday best. His shoes were polished. You could see his face in them. And I think, to be honest, they walked there bare feet, and then he put his shoes on when he got there. And he showed us with great pride the tree saplings. He grows the saplings. And then he was there that day to hand those over to the farmers so that they could get some planting done. So while the trees, which are taking 2 years to grow, they will plant alongside that vegetables. They'll make use of the ground. And in particular, chili peppers are grown, and these are used in their cooking. In every dish nearly that you get, there'll be chili peppers. And of course, the short-term growing, and then they can sell them on. So this photograph shows this gentleman who made this chili dryer. And it's just wood and thick polythene, and with some trays can be set inside. There's larger ones and there's small ones. And this allows the chilies to dry in a quicker time. Normally, they laid them out on mats on the ground, but then if it rained, it was a quick process of trying to get that rolled up and away until the sun came out again. So this obviously is much quicker, and again allows them to sell on any that they don't need themselves. He was just so, so proud that we were there to see this. And the villagers are now discovered there's bees about the place, so they're into beekeeping. And this gentleman had actually gone away. He disappeared for a time and came back with his beehive, and he explained to us how his beehive works. And they're now making beehives for other farmers, and they're producing honey, which then again they can sell. And the guy in the orange shirt in behind him was Kojo, our driver, and Kojo was fascinated by this. He was really into it, and he's due to retire. He was our driver that he works for the Reverend Joseph. But when he retires, he has told us he wants to go back to his village and he wants to keep bees. So the Methodist Church in Ghana is not just handing money out, but with our support, they are encouraging and empowering the farmers to think about how they, if they receive money, how they can develop the projects for themselves. And I am pleased, as Robin had said, that we now, our district, has been linked with Ghana. And I'm looking forward to seeing the work that is ongoing out there. So Meet Ghana team 2019. We did not go out to build toilet blocks or buildings, to do kids' clubs or paint, or to bring anything of any material value. But we went to see how money from the Irish Methodists through the World Development and Relief is being used to bring positive changes to the lives of the local people through sustainable and well-researched methods and programmes. And that's what we saw. And it was a privilege to be there. And I just thank God every day for that privilege and for now being able to share with you. So could we just pray? Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for the Methodist presence in Ghana. We praise you for its continuous impact on the people it encounters. We thank you for the leadership of the church. We thank you for the ongoing work at Wenche Methodist Hospital and the Woodlot Farming Project. Continue to make your presence felt. We ask a blessing on all the projects the World Development and Relief are involved with. Give them guidance in the work that they are doing. Amen. Thank you.